A recent study from ZipJet has ranked Sydney as the least stressful city in Australia and 8th in the world. The study took into consideration factors such as population density, pollution, physical and mental health, and gender equality in putting together its rankings. I had a chat with Dr. Sebastian Rosenberg, senior lecturer at the Brain and Mind Research Institute at the University of Sydney. Although Sydney may have been ranked as one of the least stressful cities, he emphasized that the problem of mental health still exists.
It accounts for about 13% of the total burden of disease, but it gets around about only 5% of the health budget directed towards mental health. So that gap, I think, is quite telling, and it tells us a lot about why repeated inquiries into mental illness tell us the system is in crisis.
He then explained the factors that affect the quality of mental health.
So the link between mental health and having something to do, I think, is absolutely critical. But there is the old chestnut that good mental health is actually something to do, someone to love, and something to look forward to, which I rather like. And again, I think it's important for us to have good relationships, which nurture you, and they can be with all sorts of people, or indeed with pets and a whole range of things where people get succor and nourishment from. And of course, having something to make you worth getting up in the morning and looking forward to achieving or doing or contributing or being part of.
Although big cities are privileged with the funds and infrastructure to promote mental health, these cities do come with their own challenges.
By a lot of measures, Australia does enjoy a high standard of living. There is things like good water quality and good air quality and good, if you like, population health type infrastructure to support good physical health, and that plays into good mental health. So that's important, and that applies also to our big cities generally. So that's a significant factor. But on the other hand, there would be a range of stressors that would apply in Australia's large cities that would be associated with the trials and tribulations of daily life and commuting and a range of other things that would be, I think, quite significant in Australia's larger cities. And again, we need to be mindful of these factors, and I think they deserve to be much better understood as they relate to issues of urban planning.
Because of these factors, Dr. Rosenberg challenges the leaders of cities like Sydney to be more strategic in the way they plan their development.
I would suggest that in terms of the way cities are emerging, we need to be mindful of those kinds of considerations when we think about how we arrange suburbs and transport and services to make it as easy as possible for people to thrive and to feel as though they're contributing.
He emphasizes that collaboration between the government and its citizens is critical in promoting a mentally friendly society.
The emphasis here is surely around issues to do with community and the opportunities for people to engage with one another, not just at work, but in other settings. And they can be community and sporting and social and otherwise. And I think making it as easy as possible and making it as normal as possible for those interactions to occur, I think it's worth, as I say, engaging with our own population to get their assessment about what they value and about what contributes to their mental health. And I think this is part of a broader discussion about mental health and mental illness in modern Australia, in contemporary Australia, that we have not had, and which I think could play a very useful role in helping to break down the stigma which remains associated with mental health and mental illness.
For The Daily, I'm Gilbert Sayahan.